This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership between the New York State Turfgrass Association and Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program. My name is Dr. Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science here in the School of Integrative Plant Science in the section of Horticulture here at Cornell University. And this is the Cornell Shortcut Podcast for May 11, 2015, Volume 16, Issue Number 6. The 2015 growing season will be remembered for stopping, then surging, as we begin experiencing the typical spring growth surge. Keep in mind, there's been active growth for a few weeks as soils have warmed into the mid-50s over the last few weeks. However, until recently, top growth has not been active, and if temperatures were favorable, moisture has been lacking. Yet only minor drought stress flare-ups have been evident, signs of a good root system. As soon as some rain passes through, you can expect a significant increase in clipping production. This will require more frequent mowing to avoid clumps of clippings. As we have been focused on water quality protection, BMPs, for the golf turf industry lately, it is worth noting that lawn landscape and grounds management should avoid discharging clippings to paved surfaces. These clippings are rich in nutrients, 3% N, 0.5% P, 1.5% K, and as shown in picture, often make their way to storm sewers and then surface water. So keep the clippings on the lawn. While mowing frequency may be increased from a surge of growth, it also brings some help for heavily trafficked sports turf or winter damaged areas. Consider increasing mowing frequency to traffic sports turf to further improve density. Increasing from 1 to 2 mows per week can increase traffic tolerance 25%. And take care in mowing damaged areas as scalping can hinder recovery. Frequent mowings at this time can also assist for removing annual bluegrass seed heads and dandelion flowers. Of course, it does not kill the plants, rather simply improves the curb appeal. Our weather information indicating a surge of warm air brought temps 4 to 6 degrees above normal inland, but cooler along the coast, only 2 degrees above normal. We've caught up to last year's slow spring and remain about 7 days behind normal. Seed head suppression programs are on to a second app, most likely before success of first app can be assessed, and spring dandelion control is becoming favorable for certain chemistry. Soils are warming now, low to upper 70s inland and low 60s along the coast. It's been very dry, and that those conditions continue to prevail over the last few weeks, as most have received less than a half an inch of rain for the week. Evapotranspiration is now at about an inch region-wide, and deficits are beginning to show. Dry coastal areas from last season continue to be 25% of normal rain. And the forecast for the coming week. After a warm weekend and start to the week with pop-up storms, expect a brief cool-off midweek and return to warm temps as a warm, dry pattern sets up to persist for a few weeks. Humidity increases foliar disease risk, but soils are still dry. And you can get all of our forecast weather information at our forecast website, which is turfgrass information and turfgrass weather, weather for the turfgrass industry. A few notes on regional clips. We've had the slowest January through April in the lab in 15 years, says our Rutgers Diagnostic Director, Rich Buckley. Increased humidity about to increase the pressure, and hashtag sample submission. And you can click on the hard copy to get a link to submitting a sample to the Plant Diagnostic Clinic at Rutgers. The Soil Insect Lab from Kyle Wickings, a report there, grub damage flaring up all around dry school grounds and sports fields. No vertebrate pests, just damaged roots. And again, hashtag Soil Insect Lab for more information on Kyle Wickings' lab. Jerry Giordano from Westchester County clips that lawn and landscape managers can't get their irrigation systems up and running fast enough. And finally, a note from Professor Nick Menchek at SUNY Farmingdale, the new horticulture professor there, comments that irrigation systems in need of adjusting as demand is high with dry conditions. A new resource spotlight. Active growth is underway for the season, and golf and sports turf managers are likely implementing growth regulator programs. Specifically, PGRs with Trinexipac or Primo, etc., have been shown to improve turf density and reduce growth 20 to 40% without significant reductions in turf quality. However, as a foliar-absorbed product, it is rapidly metabolized by the plant as temperatures increase. Therefore, scheduling applications to maintain consistent regulation is critical and made easier with Professor Bill Kreiser, Cornell PhD from 2015, his GDD tracker. This easy-to-use Excel spreadsheet calculates base zero growing degree days to schedule Trinexipac applications, and you can access this great resource at turf.unl.edu. And finally, our questions for the week. How has increased temperatures influenced annual bluegrass weevil activity? And this comes directly from Professor Pat Vinham's landscape management update at the University of Massachusetts. The current stretch of hot weather has indeed pushed development of the annual bluegrass weevils. Tiny larvae are beginning to show up in turf samples. We received samples from a golf course in the Albany area sent last week when the course had accumulated 164 degree days base 50 and found a few second instars. The first and second instars are incredibly small and resemble weed seeds. We were out on a local golf course and found few very small second instar larvae. That golf course has accumulated 237 degree days through 5/11. The warm weather forecast through tomorrow will continue to push weevil development very quickly through the northeast. It has also been very dry, so areas that were already struggling to recover from winter injury are under a great deal of stress right now. Unless we get some much-needed rain, and it comes in a nice steady distribution instead of a downpour that runs off, we can expect to see more damage from annual bluegrass weevils this spring than in some years, simply because of the conditions of the turf. It's still too early to tell how high the populations will be in early June. Part of me thinks the numbers may be a little lower than normal, but because of the agronomic stresses, golf course superintendents need to remain really vigilant this spring. If you did not treat for adults yet and intend to do so, you probably should try and get that application down within the next week in central New England. It may already be too late in the metropolitan New York area. Meanwhile, start watching for rhododendrons to start blooming. That is the best indicator for plants best indicator plant for larval treatments. And the final question, what should I do about areas that have been injured and slow to recover? Between persistent winter damage, dry conditions, and now reports of widespread grub activity, turf recovery at this time is a challenge. When assessing the turf at this time, realize that weather patterns seem to suggest we are heading into summer-like conditions. Any recover of damaged areas will require seed or sod. At this point, with growing season well underway, the use of sod might be warranted in many situations simply to ensure turf density and safety for sports turf, playability for putting surfaces, and visual appeal for lawn areas. Interestingly, for lawns, emeritus professor at the University of Wisconsin, Wayne Cousseau, evaluated seed versus sod and found sod over the long run when used in less than favorable establishment situations for seed can be more cost effective. And you can see the article at tinyurl.com/LK9LQWD. Thank you for joining me for this week's installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership between the New York State Turfgrass Association and Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Turfgrass Science Professor here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.